Yeah, good morning, Crosspoint. I'm so glad to be here with y'all today. The series of Over It has just been so important to me. I just love when scripture meets real life decisions and who we get to be. At the beginning, in my Bible, at the beginning of every book, and we've kind of been in Philippians for this whole series. That's kind of where we've been anchored. In the beginning of Philippians, for me, it says, why read this book? They give me a lot of like things to learn. And it says, if you've ever had trouble seeing how faith can be dressed in everyday work clothes, Philippians is for you. It puts lofty truths into practical terms. And that's what I have found true in this series. I bet you have too. If you haven't gotten to hear the first few weeks of it, I would recommend going back and listening. It's so, so good. And we're going to finish it out today. But first, we need to talk about football. Can we do that real quick? Because a couple weeks ago, I was watching the Tennessee game, and they have this new young quarterback who's like a true freshman. His name is Brian Maurer. I always want to say that wrong, but Brian Maurer. And the game I watched, it was against Georgia. The game I watched, he was the starting quarterback for the first time. And I don't know how they do this, but the cameramen always find the families of these kids. And so this is Brian's mom. And I just kept thinking, like, Brian is 19 years old. Like 6 months ago, he was at prom, right? And now he's like a starting quarterback on national television. And 6 months ago, his mom was taking pictures of her like senior in high school on his first day of school. And now she's watching him on national television. And every touchdown was so cute because they would pan to her and she would lose her mind, rightfully so, because her kid is scoring these touchdowns or creating these big moments. And as I was watching her, I got so distracted. This is the second touchdown. Maybe you're noticing what I'm noticing, that her flashlight's on. Right? So I'm like watching her and I'm enjoying this. I'm like, oh my gosh, look, she's so happy. And the whole time her flashlight is on. And then the guy behind her is like, your flashlight's on. But it's just amazing the way that one little thing sticks out to all of us, right? Like you just notice it. You got to see the guy tell her again. It's so great. He's like, hey, your flashlight's on. Your flashlight's on. I love it. I just loved watching her celebrate her son, but I also love that moment because that's my big takeaway from watching her is this one little shiny thing, this one little distracting thing that stood out to me. And that's the reality of shiny things. Shiny things stand out. Shiny things make a difference. It is what you remember. You think about that when someone gets engaged. You remember what the ring looks like. When there's a fireworks show, the thing that you notice is what's up in the air. Maybe if you're watching the stars at night, a shooting star is going to be what catches your attention. It's the shiny things. And as believers, as people of God, that's who we want to be too. We want to be the shiny thing that stands out. But I'm not sure I'm always great at that. And I'm not sure that any of us feel like we do like the world's best job of looking different than our neighbors who believe differently than we believe. But there's this scripture. I'm going to stay in Philippians. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. If not, I know how to read, so I got us. We're going to go to Philippians 2. Because this actually literally, this scripture tells us literally how we stand out. What does it look like for the people of God to look different? Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Sometimes it maybe feels like to you like it does to me that like Paul writes this and I hear you, Paul, but like you don't know what it's like to deal with traffic. And like you don't know what it's like to be on Twitter. Right? Like you can feel like the Bible is so disconnected from our lives when he says like, if you want to look different, just stop complaining. But let me put in context a little bit for you about the book of Philippians. We've talked about before back in Acts 16 with Lydia, when the first church in Philippi begins, and this is a letter Paul's written back to them. And they are literally the first church in Europe. Right? So you talk about people who are living in a warped and crooked generation. They don't know another church. And he's going, hey, if you want to look different, don't complain. Don't grumble. That's what makes you stand out. This is a command on our lives, a living command that actually affects who you are and what goes on around you. And that's what we want to be. That's why we've done this series. That's why we've talked about getting over things, because people who don't know God can't get over stuff. Right? It's one of the advantages of being in a relationship with God is that when something like shame comes up against us, as we've talked about, you know how to get over shame and get over your past. How we get over our anxiety and our fears. How we get over comparison and unforgiveness. Oh my gracious, Pastor Kevin last week with unforgiveness, I was like, stop reading my journal, that's rude. Right? But that is what makes us look different than our neighbors, is that we can get over stuff. But that being said, I have a lot to complain about, if you would just be with me for a minute. I'd just like to complain about some things publicly. I think that's the right way to go. For starters, the low-hanging fruit is traffic. We can complain about traffic all we want to. But I have a secondary complaint. You know we hide things back here. Do you guys know Donut Den in Green Hills? Yes, good. A round of applause for donuts. I agree with you. This is an apple fritter from Donut Den, and it's the best thing they have. And I would like to complain that sometimes I get there and they've run out, and that's not okay with me. And also, I'd like to complain because this is not a vegetable, and I want it to be healthy, and it's not. And so I'd like to complain that this apple fritter is not as healthy as I'd like it to be. I'm disturbed by that and bothered by that. If you've ever been to our Dixon campus, there is Dixon Donuts, and they would like to claim that their apple fritters are better than these from Green Hills. And I'll just lead in this way that I will figure it out for you. I'll just do the research and figure it out for you. You're welcome. I would also like to complain about the Titans kicking game, but it's too soon. It's too soon. That's a Drew Powell joke. I'd like to complain about the weather because it stayed too hot for too long, and I wanted it to be like cozy by now, and it's still barely cozy. What else would I like to complain about? The slow internet. And I'd like to complain about Amazon because there are times where I want to get something from California tomorrow, and they say I can't have it until Tuesday. I want it tomorrow. I can complain about the government, what it does and what it doesn't do. My friend of mine tried to get a new driver's license on Friday, and she sat there from 7:30 to 3. It was also fall break. That's on her. But I would complain about sitting in the same place that long. Complain about relationships, things going the way you want them to and the way you don't want them to. And the list could go on, especially if we took time and hopped online. I mean, Twitter and Facebook are literally complaint factories, right? You put one in and it multiplies like bunnies before it comes out the other side. And everyone is in it with you. And the problem is that our complaints don't just stay there online. They go with us. Let me tell you what is true about when we complain. It actually affects our environments and our bodies. For starters, it affects your work. 70% of people say that they work with a complainer. And 2/3 of those people say it decreases productivity in the office. If you don't work with a complainer, you might need to check yourself. It may be you. 70% of your coworkers may be talking about you. Right? I have never sat in a meeting where the person complaining about the meeting or the thing where I go like, man, you sound so much like Jesus. This is good. This is a blessing. I'm enjoying this more because you're telling me how terrible of a time you're having. Right? It never works like that. Like, guess what? We all had to be in this meeting at 8:30. No one was thrilled about it, but why do you have to keep talking about it? Your complaining actually affects your ability to do your job. And your complaining, my complaining, it actually affects our bodies. This is science, that when you complain about a situation, when I complain about a situation, I'm not just saying you, I'm saying me. When we complain about a situation, it actually changes our physiological response. Your brain goes back to that experience. Your heart rate increases, your muscles tense up, your hands get clammy. Whatever you felt in the experience you're complaining about, you are feeling it again. It affects your body. So we just have to stop. I do too. We just have to stop complaining and stop grumbling because we don't want to look like everybody else, and we do want to look like Jesus to our neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers. So, how do we get over it? How do we get over grumbling? I would just say to you, life isn't fair and it's not always going to work out, and I'm not telling you you can't express that. I'm gonna give you a couple of questions. We'll do two now and then one more in just a few minutes. A couple of questions that I think you can maybe ask yourself when the situation happens and you're ready to like type, or you're ready to tell, or you're ready to text. I wonder if you could just ask these questions, just slow yourself down a little bit and ask these questions. The first one I'd ask, is this really the problem? If you have your outline, I left these little spots for you. Is this really the problem? The thing you're about to complain about, is this really the problem? As you remember, last weekend, Sunday and Monday, it rained the whole days of Sunday and Monday. And I was watching a puppy that went to another forever home. I just had the puppy for a week. And I was having to go outside with the puppy at 2 o'clock in the morning when it was pouring rain. And the next day, I wanted to complain about it and say to people, oh, this rain, this weather. But if I'm telling you, like, the real truthiest truth that's kind of gross is what I wanted people to tell me is I'm great for doing that for them. Right? I wasn't actually complaining about the weather. We needed rain. The soil needed it. Our souls needed it a little bit to get out of the heat. It's what ushered in the weather that we're loving right now. We needed the rain. The rain wasn't the problem. The problem is I was inconvenienced. So we got to really identify, if you want to complain about something, you need to pump the brakes for just a second and identify what the actual problem is. The weather was not the problem. Annie was the problem. And then once you identify the real problem, you can still say it. You can actually still communicate it. But that's the second question I would have you ask that I have to ask too. Is this a solution to the problem? Is this thing that I'm gonna say an actual solution to the problem that I have? Because here's the thing, I don't ever want you to hear me say as your friend, I'm not saying that people of faith can't have opinions. And I'm not saying that people of faith shouldn't say when we see injustice. In fact, we should. We should be the people going first when something isn't just, because Jesus is just. And so when we see injustice, we should be saying it. When something's going wrong, we should be saying it. The thing that makes us stand out is, can faith people, can people in relationship with God figure out a way to have a nuanced conversation that says what is going wrong, but says it with love? Because that's what changes people. It's God's kindness that leads us to God's kindness leads to repentance. Thank you. Great. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. That's what makes us change. So it's just going to take a little more time than blasting something out on Facebook or than saying something at work. It's going to take a little time to go, I have an actual complaint here. There is a problem here. How do I say it so that I stand out? How do I say it in a way? Besides being on the teaching team, my job is that I write books. I travel and speak a little bit. And I also have a podcast. It's called That Sounds Fun. It comes out on Mondays and Thursdays. And it's an interview show. So I sit down with friends and we just talk about whatever comes to my mind. I'm sure y'all shocked about that. But I ask a lot of questions. And that's what we talk about. And I've done a couple of hundred episodes. So I've been doing this for a while. And in April, I was in New York, and I can tell you right where I was standing, and I was walking and checking Twitter like a person walking should do, and this tweet came up, and it stopped me in my tracks, and I got permission to show this to you. This is from a friend named Kelly. She's African-American, and she said, "Hi, Annie Downs. I love your podcast and your books. You're a gift to the family of God." Thank you. Would you consider intentionally including more people of color on your podcast? I'd love to hear more from some other perspective. Thanks, bless you. She has a real complaint, and she's right. And I have repented, and I have asked forgiveness. I just was not being thoughtful. I wasn't being thoughtful about reflecting the full family of God well on my show. And she, I mean, I joke about this. She's not kissing up to me. She's genuinely saying, hey, Annie, I see you and I see your work. And I have a complaint that I love to bring to you in love. And she, I've changed. She's been on the show. I'm being more thoughtful. I ask her all the time, are you watching? Am I doing better at this? Because see, she took time to, there's a way she could have said this exact same thing and I would have blocked her. Right? Because if you're rude, I don't have time. If you don't have my phone number, I don't have time. I don't have time. Don't be mean. But she took time to go, here's the real problem, and I actually have a solution to the problem. I wonder if I just asked Annie, I wonder if I just used a question mark, if she would listen. And God uses that stuff, y'all. I am a different woman from April because of this tweet. This sounds like Jesus to me. So there is a way that we can take a real concern, a real complaint to someone else and stand out like stars in the heavens and look different and sound like Jesus. But there also, to me, is kind of a deeper complaining thing that we get to and need to talk about this morning. Because it's more than just traffic and weather and what's going on in the government and what's going on at your workplace and what's going on in your neighborhood. And that's all fun. You know, the next door app is fun to complain on and complain about. I'm with you. And I think the truth is the fruit of the Spirit, we have self-control. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, we just need to up our self-control when it comes to complaining. Me too. But then there's this deeper. Let's look at Philippians in the Message version. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Remember who he's talking to, right? He's talking to the only church in Europe. He's going, you can be a breath of fresh air. You can do that in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people, I think this is beautiful, provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Give people a glimpse of good living and the living God. If that's what they say about me when my life is over, Annie gave us a glimpse of good living and the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. No second guessing, it says. I just would wonder, because it's true about me, that some of my biggest complaints have nothing to do with any of you or anyone else. It has to do with God and how things have and haven't worked out the way I thought they would. There's this quote from Pastor Tim Keller. He says, worry is fear that God will get it wrong, and bitterness is believing that he did. And the deeper thing here is when your complaint is with God, and me too. If we've been friends for a while, you know my life doesn't look exactly like I thought my life would look at this point. And I have some complaints about that. I have friends that I want to be healed and they aren't getting healed. And I have friends that are having bad things happen at their job. And I have complaints about that. One of my girlfriends has a really, like a long time autoimmune disease, and we just pray for God to heal her, and he doesn't. And I'd like to complain about that. Because it feels like the end of the story. I think that's often the things we want to complain to God about the most, is when we think, I see this whole thing, and you have not met the expectation. I feel that too. And so the third question I'd have you ask is, are you sure this is the end of the story? Are you sure? Now, it may be the end of the chapter, but are you sure this is the end of the story? There's a story in John 11. I would love for you to read it sometime this week. We won't take time to read it, but I will kind of tell it to you. And it's about a guy named Lazarus. You've probably heard of him if you've read through this before, but it's a guy named Lazarus, and he has two sisters, Mary and Martha. And these are like Jesus, some of Jesus' best friends. They live about 2 miles in Bethany from Jerusalem, where Jesus is. And Lazarus is one of his like bros. And Lazarus gets sick, and Mary and Martha send Jesus a letter, and it says, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And they want him to come heal Lazarus. They've seen Jesus heal people. They know he can do it. And so they say, "Lord, the one you love is sick, and you're only 2 miles away, right?" And Jesus doesn't come. And he keeps not showing up, and then Lazarus dies. And it's 4 days, and they bury him. And then Jesus shows up in Bethany. And Martha gets up and leaves the house, and she goes out and meets Jesus, and she says, "If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." She looks right at him and says her complaint, "If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." And Martha and Jesus have this beautiful conversation back and forth that you should take time and read this week. And Martha goes back to the house and tells Mary that Jesus is here, and she jumps up and runs out and meets him on the road. You know what she says? "If you would have been here, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." I just wonder if sometimes it would be easier for me, and maybe this feels true for you, if God was a little bit limited so we could go, "I know he would if he could. He just can't." But the God of the Bible and the God that we serve is unlimited in his power and his ability and in his love. And that makes things confusing. Because if he would have been here, that wouldn't have happened. Jesus, if you would have been here. And the thing that I think is so beautiful about Jesus and Mary is, as far as Mary and Martha and Lazarus know, the story's over. And Jesus weeps with Mary. Jesus just falls apart with her. And yet, that's not the end of the story. I think that's the thing I would love for you sometime this week to sit with, even if it's just 10 minutes and you read through John 11. What is it about Jesus that he hears the complaint, he weeps right with Mary, and he knows he's going to walk to the tomb and resurrect Lazarus? The story is not over, but Jesus feels everything with Mary and Martha, and then he goes and makes it right. That's mysterious to me, and I like it. And what I learned from this story, besides knowing that our stories are not over, is that when you have a complaint with God, complain to God. When you have a complaint with him about how your life is going, about what has happened, and you know if he would have been there, say it to him. That's what Mary and Martha get right in this, is they go straight to Jesus and say, "If you would have been here." My friend who's so sick, we sat in a circle and prayed for a couple of days ago, and I know the story's not over, but I still said out loud, I said, "God, how can you see her hurting this much and not heal her?" But I know the story's not over, and I know that he is a God of love, and yet I still have a real sentence to say. "Lord, the one you love is sick." I still say that when I pray for my friends to get healed. I say, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And so I just would say to you, maybe it's time to complain to the Lord. Maybe it's time to trust that he can handle that. He had Mary and Martha walk up to his face and say, "If you would have been there." In the middle of your story, can you trust that there are things you don't know and yet still tell him the truth? I just wonder if you, like me, sometimes have just bottled up your frustrations and bottled up your disappointments. And a friend said to me between the last service and this one, said, yeah, I think those things, I just forgot I could say them to him, but he knows. I just wonder if this would be a day where you choose to raise your self-control about complaining outwardly and open your heart about saying the truth inwardly. And that's how we look different. That's how we stand out. This series, we've talked about getting over our past and the unforgiveness pieces. We've talked about getting over shame. Pastor Drew just did such a beautiful job on that. About getting over anxieties. About getting over comparison. And then the grumbling, complaining of today. I just wonder, as we close up this series, the interesting thing is at the end of every week, the person says the same thing up here. And it's been interesting to me as I've listened every week, because what every pastor has said has been, would you invite God into that? Would you just invite God in to where you're struggling? And so I would invite you to do the same. Can you invite God into these complaints that you have and these problems that you have? Because he is the solution. There's things we haven't talked about, like getting over fear or worry or anger. And I would say you can invite him into those too. Go meet him on the road and tell him what's true. There's this song that we've sang during this series. It's kind of become a little bit of an anthem for us. Whether you've listened to it at home on Spotify or when we've worshiped here, it's called Waymaker. And it's just one of those songs that there's this line that keeps standing out to me. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. And we're going to close up this series singing that together. And I would just invite you, as always, whatever feels like home to you. If you are in your living room and you need to process this thing you're feeling on the inside right now and you want to stay seated while we worship and just let the worship band sing over you, that's fine. If you want to stand up and worship with us, let's worship. If you need to kneel on the floor because you just need to say to God, like, I give this to you, do that. We have floor for you. I would also remind you that every person up here is in the middle of a story. No one is singing to you or talking to you from the end, from the victory line or anything. We are all here going, I am smack in the middle of this too. So when they sing, just remember they're singing from the middle of family crisis or health crisis or relational crisis or a work crisis. They are believing that he is going to make a way, that he is the one who keeps promises, that even when we can't see it, he's working. So, I just want to say, I bless you as you wrestle with him today, that you would know him better for saying the true thing you need to say today. You will shine brighter than you ever have. Let me pray for us and then we'll worship. God, we believe that you are who you say you are. I just claim that even when I don't feel it, you're working. And even when it feels different than I thought it would, you're working. And even when I have questions in places that don't quite feel right, I just believe that you are who you say you are. You are consistent from start to finish. So I pray today, even as we sing this song, that life would bubble up in us. That places that have felt dead like Lazarus would resurrect today. That we would be Martha, we would be Mary, and we would be Lazarus. God, I pray that you would show my friends today where you are moving and working, and how trustworthy you are. as we tell you the truth, you weep with us, and then you finish the story. We believe that's who you are. And so we will watch, and we will worship. Like Mike said, we will worship in the middle. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.